Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 19, if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 19, I'm going to start reading at verse 37, Luke chapter 19. I'm glad you're here this morning. We thank you for coming to the house of the Lord. And this is serious business, coming to God's house and hearing the Word of God and worshiping the Lord. God don't intend for us to leave like we came. Amen. Let's stand together. Luke chapter 19, verse 37. And when he was come nigh, Jesus was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee around, keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Father, we come to you this morning with a heavy heart. Oh God, we know that you are concerned about every soul in this place, and that it is your will that all come to repentance and that none perish. And I pray that you'd help us this morning. We are standing in need of a move of God among us. We are standing in need of revival. We're standing in need of the help of God desperately. We are praying that the Spirit of the Lord would move in this service and you would wrap us up in your arms of love and you would do what needs to be done in our hearts this morning. And we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to call your attention to a passage, especially one passage, verse 41 in this 19th chapter. When Jesus was come near to the city of Jerusalem, he beheld the city and wept over it. And I want to preach to you this morning on a God with a broken heart. A God with a broken heart. Jesus brought to the world a better understanding of God. He was God with us. God manifested in the flesh. The Word made flesh. The express image of the Father and the brightness of His glory. The world understood much better the anger of God than they did the love of God. Heathens without any knowledge of God, the true God, they worshipped the creation or some portion of it. Their gods were gods that they feared. They didn't love their gods. They feared their gods. They served their gods out of fear. And this was the condition of the world in general, that the world knew much about the anger of God, but not much about the love of God. And the reason for that is not that God did not love or demonstrate His love, but that the devil hid from the minds of men the goodness of God. The psalmist declared that the whole earth was full of His glory, but that glory was veiled by the activity of Satan in the world. Israel was taught that God loved them and chose them. But Jesus came and demonstrated the love of God for the whole world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The love of Christ for Jerusalem is evident in my text. As He rode toward Jerusalem on the colt at the triumphal entry, He wept as Jerusalem came into view on the Mount of Olives. The pain in His heart, I'm telling you, you hear me now. The pain in the heart of Jesus was due to His love for these people in Jerusalem. And He saw the looming judgment that was about to fall on this city due to what they were doing to Jesus. But He was not crying for Himself. He was weeping over those people. He was not glad, you hear me, He was not glad at the imminent disaster hanging over this city. Jesus cried over these people. Now, I want you to notice several things in this passage. One is that this disaster could have been avoided, and Jesus knew that. This disaster that He was looking at in the future and that He described in verses 43 and 44. For the days will come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. This was the judgment that was coming upon Jerusalem. It would be just a few years in the future, about 38 years down the road, that this would take place in the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. It was a disaster. The Romans came against the city of Jerusalem, compassed it about, besieged the city, and 1,100,000 Jews perished in the city of Jerusalem. Josephus says that blood ran like water in the streets of Jerusalem. And all of this could have been avoided if only they had heeded the call of Jesus Christ. Jesus had lamented over this city prior to this point. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth her chicks, and you would not. You kill the prophets. You stone them that are sent unto you. You will not hear the word of God. And now, judgment is looming over this city. Jesus is lamenting because the judgment that He sees could have been avoided. I'm telling you, brother, judgment don't have to come to your life. And when we get to the place where we've rejected the Word of God and judgment comes to us and to our families, and we look back and say, this could have been avoided if I'd have listened to God, if I'd have obeyed the Word, if I'd responded to the call of God. This is one of the most terrible things of hell, is knowing you didn't have to go there. Secondly, these people failed to respond in the time of their visitation. The Bible says in verse 44 that your enemies are going to lay you even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leaving thee one stone upon another, because you knew not the time of your visitation. And this visitation, of course, was God walking in their streets. God with us, teaching, preaching, healing in their streets. Jesus' ministry not only encompassed Galilee, but Jesus had taught in the temple precincts. Jesus had done miracles in the city of Jerusalem. And early on in his ministry, he faced hostility from the people in Jerusalem. It was daresome for Jesus to venture into Jerusalem and Judea because of the hostility that resided in this part of the country against Jesus. In spite of his miracles, in spite of what Jesus was doing, the good things that Jesus was doing, these people hated him because of what Jesus was teaching. You know, everybody loved the miracles of Jesus. They loved to eat the bread. They loved the healings and the miracles that he did. But when Jesus opened his mouth and spoke the truth, they hated him for speaking the truth to them. And so there was hostility in Jerusalem from early on in the ministry of Christ against Jesus because Jesus told the truth. And right at the beginning of his ministry, he went into the temple and cleansed the temple in the very beginning of his ministry. And then again, at the end of his ministry, went into the temple and cleansed the temple and rebuked the authorities in that temple. And these people hated him. They hated Jesus in Jerusalem. Now, not only did God deal with Jerusalem through the ministry of Jesus, but God dealt with Jerusalem through the ministry of the early church. It was in Jerusalem that the early church was birthed. It was in Jerusalem that Pentecost happened, that God poured out the Holy Ghost upon the early church in Acts chapter 2. This happened in Jerusalem. And God, Jesus had given to his disciples these marching orders. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to start in Jerusalem. So the same message that Jesus carried to these people would be repeated again in the message and the preaching and the lives of the people of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, spilling out into the streets of Jerusalem, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. It was in Jerusalem that persecution began against the church of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, heal the lame man sitting at the beautiful gate. The authorities rise up against them and imprison Peter and John, put them on trial, and forbid them to preach or teach in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 5, after Ananias and Sapphira have died under the judgment of God, and the Lord has done wonderful miracles through the apostles, the authorities rise up against the apostles, throw them into prison, put them on trial, and beat them because they continue to preach and teach the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 7, we have the first Christian martyr. Stephen is stoned to death, and this happens in Jerusalem. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 that there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. It was due to this fact that the church spread into the surrounding area, carrying the gospel to other areas of Israel because of the persecution in Jerusalem. These people had a time of visitation. There was a time of opportunity. The message of God was preached through the Son of God. the message of God was preached through the early church to these people, they had their time of visitation. I want you to understand that everybody has space to repent. A time of visitation. A time when God deals with our hearts. A time when our ears are open to the truth. Our eyes are open to the truth. A time when we can make a decision about the truth of God. A time of visitation. The Bible tells us in Acts 3:19 that we are to repent and be converted when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I do not believe that anybody can pick the day of their salvation. Nobody can say, okay, on this day, this time, I'm going to give my heart to God. You will never get right with God unless the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart. You will never come to Jesus unless there's a pull from heaven. Sin and Satan will see to it that you never come to Christ unless you answer the call when God is sending the summons to your soul. There is a time of visitation. There is space to repent. There is a moment that you can get right with God. And not only you, sinner, but I'm telling you, church, the Bible says today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. And He is not talking to sinners. He is talking to the people of God. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. I'm telling you, God is speaking to the people of God in this time because we're getting close to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God is wanting the ear of the people of God. And I'm telling you that God gives us space to repent. There's a time that God speaks to us. There's a time that God visits us. There's a time that we have to make decisions about our spiritual condition. Brother, I'm going to preach to y'all this morning. Just hold on to your seats. Just get your seatbelt buckled and hold on. It may be a rough ride. But I'm going to tell you, God ain't playing. And you see how Jesus wept over these people? Because He loved them. He loved them. They missed their time of visitation. There's a time of visitation in the lives of individuals. There's a time of visitation in the lives of churches. There's a time of visitation in the history of nations. We have had our visitation in the United States of America. The tide has rolled in times past in the United States of America. And God swept multitudes into the kingdom of God in the holiness revivals and the revivals under Charles Finney, the great Presbyterian preacher, in the holiness revivals of the 19th century, the early 20th century, in the Pentecostal revivals of the 20th century. God brought in multitudes of souls in this country. The revivals swept across this land. The tide of God's Spirit moving. We have seen that tide come in. We've seen that tide go out. Now then, we're in a time when the sun is beating down and it's getting close to harvest time. It happens in families, brother. God gives families an opportunity to get right with God. There is a time that God deals with us. Mothers and fathers have an opportunity to respond to God, to yield to the Bible, to the truths of God's Word. Their children's future is dependent on it. If they do not yield to the truths of God's Word, it isn't that their children cannot be saved, but they make it difficult for their children to be saved. Their children can be saved. Thank God. You may be a heathen and your children can get saved and go to heaven. But if you do not respond to the Word of God, and you will not bend to the Word of God, and you harden your heart against the Word of God, you're going to make it difficult for your children to go to heaven. You're going to curse your family if you do not keep the commandments of God. You say, preacher, I didn't think we had to keep the commandments of God. Well, I'll tell you something. The Bible says, if you love me, You will keep my commandments. Praise God. And this is what the Lord wants to do in every heart in this place. That every home is a place where the commandments of God are revered. Every home is a place of worship unto God. Every home is a place where Jesus is honored. Every home is a place where the conversation is sanctified. Every home is a place where the devil is not allowed. Praise God. Y'all know my granddaddy was a straight-talking man. Some of you might have known him. I don't know. He was a lay preacher, and he was a straight-talking man. And when his wife died, my granny died, some of them came to him and said, preacher said, he'd married again. And this second woman's children came to him and said, preacher said, we want to bring a television to your home. Y'all need something to entertain you here. And my granddaddy said, I am not going to allow hell to pump its sewage in my living room. Now that's how straight talking he was. He said, I am not going to allow hell to pump its sewage in my living room. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, when your home is devoted to God, when your home is a sanctified home, you don't want anything in that home that dishonors God, that brings down the name of the Lord. You protect that home against influences that will destroy the purity of that home and the salvation of those children. Now, did I lose you? So, there's a time of visitation. All of us, our families, our churches, individuals have a time of visitation. Today, if you will hear His voice. Now, thirdly, Jesus indicated that spiritual dullness preceded physical destruction. He said in verse 42, if you had known even now, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. This is the most dreaded judgment, brother and sister. It's not the physical judgment. It's the spiritual judgment where these things are hid from your eyes. The Bible teaches us that Israel shut their eyes and closed their ears. And then the Bible tells us that God shut their eyes. And God closed their ears. It was a judgment from God. When they first closed their eyes and closed their ears, and then God shut their eyes. And God closed their ears. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible tells us that because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind that they no longer could recognize who God was. This is the dreaded judgment, that if we fail to respond to God, and God is merciful, and God continues to deal with us, but there will come a time, brother, if you continually resist the truth, and you will not respond to God, the preacher pleads with you, get your house in order. The preacher pleads with you, establish prayer in your home. Establish the Word of God in your home. Set an example before your children. Let your children see what's important in your lives. Pray and seek the face of God. Teach those children the ways of God. Live your life sanctified unto God. Set an example before them. And the preacher pleads with you over and over and over again. And some of you head in the wrong direction continually. I'm telling you, there is a judgment. If you close your eyes and close your ears against the truth, there will be a day that God will close your eyes and God will close your ears and God will say, you don't want the truth. You'll never understand the truth again. This is the judgment of God. It's the judgment. It's the spiritual judgment that precedes the physical judgment. This is what happened to Israel. God pulled a veil over their eyes. And you say, preacher, I don't believe God does that. I'm going to tell you something. I have lived long enough to see that happen to individuals and to families in my own personal ministry. I have lived to see that happen over and over again. God deals, we refuse His dealing, and God pulls the veil over a person's mind. You know what happens sometimes? Listen to me now. Some of you parents
you decide the preacher's crazy. You know, he don't know what he's talking about. You go home and share that with the children. Preacher don't know what he's talking about. He crazy. He ain't got no sense. It ain't so. Well, and then you expect your children to get saved, you know. You want your children to get saved. You done convinced them that the preacher don't know what he's talking about. That he's crazy. He's off his rocker. He ain't got good sense. And he's the one that God's appointed to reach your children for Jesus Christ. To help you reach your children for Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you're sowing the seeds of your own destruction. And what God is wanting, brother, is for us to respond to Him. I preached to you last Sunday what an awesome thing it is. The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is an awesome thing. This is an awesome moment. I cannot tell you how serious this moment is right here, right now. Because God has appointed the preaching of the gospel to save the world. You may think I'm mad at you, but I'm not. I'm not mad at you. I love you. And I want you to understand that even though Jesus spoke judgment upon this city, He loved them. He wept over them. He was not glad for what He saw coming. He wept over this city. This very week, God kept me up all night one night. He wouldn't let me sleep. And in my mind, I could see, as it were, the hoofbeats of horses. And hear the marching of armies. And the flashing of swords. And the flashing of shields. And I knew judgment is on the way. I knew it in my heart. I couldn't go to sleep all night. And I prayed for some of you. And I pleaded with God, God, deal again. God, speak again. God, let your Spirit work again. Because there's some of you that has hardened your heart against God. And I hate to be so plain. It don't make me happy to be so plain. I'm telling you, I'm almost trembling up here right now. Because I know it's that serious. What you do with the Word of God, what you do with the Gospel, it is that serious. And the Bible tells us that God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his wicked ways and live. This is God's will, that the wicked turn from his wicked way and live. And some of you have hardened your heart. You cannot be touched. Nothing moves you anymore. You are backing up on God. You're picking up things that you used to wouldn't do. You're doing things that you know God don't want you to do. And you've hardened your heart against God. And the hoofbeats of horses are on the way. Anything that's going to affect you, it's going to affect other people, your families as well. There is the marching of armies, the glint of swords, the glint of shields, and judgment is on the way, and God is not happy about it. In fact, God is grieved about it. But God loves you enough that He would send you through something like that in order to save you. God loves you that good. I'm telling you, God has a broken heart over sinners. And He has a broken heart when we close our ears and close our eyes to to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus cried over Jerusalem. Now, I want Kendall to come to the piano this morning. I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus crying over you this morning? Is there a broken-hearted God because you have hardened your heart against Him and you will not hear the rebukes of God? The Lord speaks gently at first. You know, things happen that God tries to get our attention. And if we don't listen to Him, He speaks a little louder. And He speaks a little louder. And He speaks a little louder. There was a time when Absalom came home and he wanted to see his father, David, King David. He sent for Joab to come represent him before David, and Joab wouldn't come. Over and over again, he sent messages. Joab, come. I've got a message for you. And Joab wouldn't come. Finally, Absalom said to his servants, I want you to go out there and set his barley fields on fire. They went out there and set his barley fields on fire. It wasn't but just a little bit that Joab was at his door. What do you mean by setting my fields on fire? And Absalom said, I've been sending for you. I've been calling for you over and over again, and you would not come. And that's why your barley fields are on fire. And I'm telling you, brother, we sing a song sometimes. God will set your fields on fire. God knows how to get your attention. He loves you that good. Hallelujah. I say God loves you that good, that God will set your fields on fire to get your attention. You won't hear Him. You won't listen to Him. You closed your ears. You closed your eyes. But God loves you good enough that He'll set your fields on fire to get your attention. That's how much God loves you. You know, we got this idea. If God loves you, you won't never have no trouble. But I'm telling you, if God loves you, He chastens those He loves. If God loves you, He will hurt you to save you. You don't have to go through that. Listen to me now. Jerusalem in ruins. Jerusalem, blood running in the streets. But it didn't have to happen if they'd only listen to God. Multitudes of souls in hell, they're aware now, I didn't have to come here. I could have been in heaven. And I want you to understand this morning that I love you. I was up all night because I love you. And Jesus loves you. And Jesus wants you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to live right. And you'll find out if you do His will, if you respond to Him, you'll find out Jesus is not going to mistreat you. He's going to bless your life if you'll give up your life to Jesus Christ. I want us to stand together this morning. I preach from my heart. I hope you don't take it that I'm mad or angry. I'm not.